now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody doing out there this week? Everything going well? Yeah. That's what I like to hear. Everything's going pretty well for me, too. Real quickly, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got a few things that I told y'all. We got a few things that we're just going to get in and get out real quick. And I'm not going to hold you guys up this week because we got a lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of things moving. We got a lot of things shaking. The NBA playoffs are coming up. Yeah, and it's looking real shaky out there for a lot of teams. Some of these guys were saying they didn't need that play-in game or they didn't like that play-in game. They're going to need that play-in game. Yeah, we have some threats of civil unrest. We'll get into that a little later. We also have the NFL draft coming up. And I had a recent conversation with, again, Jarvis Davis, my guy from 92.9 The Game. He's a Falcon reporter, an Atlanta Falcon reporter. He's always on the scene. And so he has his ear to the street. He's tapped in all the way with the NFL of what's going on around the Atlanta Falcon camp and around other camps as well. So check out the Commissioner's Conversation on YouTube. I'll be dropping that shortly, probably later on today. And check out the conversation that Jarvis and I have in terms of what is going on with the draft that's coming up later on next week. So check that out. Check him out. And, you know, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Once again, it's Commissioner Gordon. All you have to do is go to YouTube, type in the Commissioner's Conversation, and you might have to do a little scrolling, but you'll see me talking to someone. Click that and then just hit subscribe. And then you can run through all of them if you like. But I appreciate Jarvis and his time. Again, you can check out Jarvis Davis at 92.9 The Game. You can also check him out at his podcast, Fill in the Blanks. And his podcast can also be heard wherever you have your podcast. So wherever you're listening to me, you can listen to him. And so check him out and go from check me out, and then we'll go from there. But like I said, the NFL draft is coming up, and we talked about what's going to happen, what we think will happen, who's lying, who's not, and it's a real good conversation. So we're going to talk that also. But, like I said, I don't want to hold you guys up. So, what we're going to do is we're going to jump right into the conversation for this week. So, let's get into it.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, I am sure you already know by now, but Tuesday, the former police officer, Derek Chauvin, was found guilty of the murder of Mr. George Floyd. And many organizations and celebrities wanted to show their support for the verdict. They wanted to come out and say that they stood with the family of George Floyd and how it would have been wrong of Minneapolis, Minnesota to have let Chauvin off or just give him this, you know, to basically say he was innocent of murder and give him a slap on the wrist for the manslaughter, but he was found guilty on all three counts. So, like I said, celebrities, organizations, everyone's showing their appreciation for justice finally being served in terms of a lot of these cops killing our black kids, our black men, our black women in the middle of the street and being able to go home and get just paid suspension. Basically, you just go home and you get paid vacation, and then they bring you back when they think everybody forgot about the shit and expect us to just roll on. But this time, the guy was found guilty. on all three counts: second degree murder, third degree murder, also manslaughter. And everyone took a deep breath. And I say that to say, the Raiders tweeted out on their Twitter page, "I can breathe for 2021. And immediately when they tweeted it out, everybody was like, "Nah, fam, don't do that. Take that down. That is offensive. That's not what's happening." And the reason why it's offensive is because if you've seen the video, you know that however the 9 minutes that he has his knee on George Floyd's neck, he's telling the officer, "I can't breathe." He's repeating, "I can't breathe." So for you to tweet after the verdict comes out, "I can breathe for 2021," it sounds a little insensitive. And I don't know how it was meant, but like I said, it sounded a little insensitive. It wasn't very clever. It wasn't very funny. It was a half-assed attempt to show support, in my opinion. I understood what they were going for. I just thought they couldn't read the room. So it later comes out that Raiders owner Mark Davis is supposedly the one who tweeted out, "I can breathe for 2021. And he tried to say that he was paraphrasing Floyd's brother, who basically said after the verdict, he was out, he had the cameras all around him, and he was saying, "Today we are able to breathe again." And he was speaking for his family. He was speaking for the fact that his family could breathe. His family could let out a sigh of relief after finally seeing some justice for Brother Floyd, who was murdered in the middle of the street. It meant that his family could move forward. And they don't have to watch that horrifying video of a man with a goofy ass smirk on his face and his hands in his pocket and his knee on the neck of another human being who's telling him he can't breathe, who's not putting up a fight. They don't have to watch the video any longer of their loved one losing his life. So as that being my brother, I'm telling you, I can breathe. I can, it's like a weight being lifted off of my back. No, it doesn't bring George Floyd back, but we can start to heal. We can start getting some closure. We can start feeling better about ourselves and knowing that his life wasn't just tossed in the trash can because Chauvin is going to do some time as a murderer. And the family, like I said, could literally exhale. Now, the Raiders tweet is insensitive because, one, they're not the family. You understand what I'm saying? They're not family. They weren't traumatized by any of this. And two, I don't know if you guys all remember Eric Garner. Hopefully you haven't forgot, but Eric Garner was the young man who was choked out by the police in 2014 for selling cigarettes on the side of the street. He also told the police, "I can't breathe." And that sparked the shirts that you saw in the NBA with LeBron and Carmelo and CP3 and all these guys. "I can't breathe." Well, in retaliation to that, the supporters of the police, the racist supporters of the NYPD, wore t-shirts that said, "I can breathe." And they were making a mockery, and they were basically poking fun at the Eric Garner situation. Eric Garner said he couldn't breathe at least 11 times in that video. I can't breathe at least 11 times. But he was continuously choked by a New York police officer. Maybe Mark Davis didn't notice. Maybe he forgot. It was like 6-7 years ago. Maybe he forgot. But whatever it was, when he tweeted it out and he was informed that this was part of the reason why it was offensive to so many people, Mark Davis basically just said that he wasn't aware of the fact that the NYPD supporters had the I Can Breathe shirts. He said he wasn't aware of that. I don't know, if he was or not. I don't know him. But once he was made aware, he said he still wasn't taking down the post. Yeah. So, in his words, it's already out there. Was his reason for not taking it down? Like, people take down stuff, and no, it doesn't go away because people screenshot it. People make copies. People log it. Yes, technically it's already out there, but you can take it down. But he continued to tell The Athletic on Tuesday night that it's not an apology. I'm not embarrassed by what I said, but I did learn something now. So he's not apologizing for the post. He's not embarrassed by the post, but said he did learn something. Well, let me ask you, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm tripping. Sometimes I get on, I'll be on one sometimes. Maybe I'm tripping. But if I'm trying to show you and your family or you and in your organization, if I'm trying to show people that I rock with them and I support them, and I say something that I think is showing that support, but I later find out that it actually does the opposite. It actually had the opposite effect of what I was going for. And when you tell me that it was actually offensive rather than helpful, yes, I learned something. But I also need to apologize for my ignorance. You understand what I'm saying? I also need to apologize for the fact that I did not know. And I'm not going to do it now, but there are numerous instances where a black person has said something about another race, another ethnicity, another person's sexuality, where if he had said it 15, 20 years ago, where maybe it would have been considered a joke, or maybe it would have just been brushed over. But now here we are in 2021, where we're all fighting for equality and we're all somewhat sensitive and we're all kind of on the edge. Now it's deemed offensive and they've had to apologize. And not only apologize, but prove almost that they did not know that was an offensive statement. But here you are, Las Vegas Raiders owner Mark Davis, telling us, "I'm trying to rock with y'all, but you saying what I said was offensive, so, whatever." But when you apologize, you're basically showing someone like, "Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry." If I tell you that, "Oh, I didn't know that and I'm sorry," that means I care. My bad. I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Genuine. Now I know now. And I won't make that mistake in the future. Typically what your apology is for. Most of the time when you apologize, you're apologizing for this instance. And you're saying that you'll be on guard in the future to not make the mistake again. But he said, I'm not apologizing. I'm not embarrassed, but I did learn something. So does he really care? I don't think he does. I think he just had a half-ass attempt at trying to appear like he cared. And when that attempt failed, he was just like, eh, oh well, I tried. But we have to be on the lookout for these type of people. They think they're helping, but in actuality, they're not. And when you inform them and try to school them on your efforts, on your struggle, then they look at you and say, oh, well, it just ain't no pleasing those people. No, we're trying to help you not look crazy. We're trying to help you be a real ally and not some half-assed effort. But I don't know how far this will go in terms of Mark Davis. I don't know what his players will do. I don't know if they'll do anything. I don't know if they're in position to be able to do anything. I don't know if his peers will do anything. I don't know if the media will do anything. But I know that I look at Mark Davis a little differently. And I already looked at him a little strange because that dumbass haircut, like he cut it himself or he let his 3-year-old grandson cut it with his eyes closed. But I don't look at Mark Davis like we looked at Al Davis, because Al Davis came up in the struggle. Al Davis understood what was going on and he was one with his players. He was one with his team. Mark Davis grew up thinking he was somebody. And yeah, I don't think he is what he think he is. And maybe we'll see the repercussions of that.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo, do y'all remember me talking about the women's NCAA basketball tournament? The young lady from the Arizona Wildcats, Ari McDonald. Well, like I said, in my limited time watching the NCAA tournament, man, I fell in love with the game of one Ari McDonald from Arizona. I mean, she's a small guard, but she's able to penetrate, get in the lane, do what she want to do, find her own shot, create a shot for her teammates. And she looks, from what I've seen, to be a tough defender. She's a great on-ball defender. Like, if you go through the highlights, she's taking the basketball out of players' hands, literally. Like, she's out here stripping the ball away from ball handlers, and she's running the passing lane. She's doing her thing on defense. She's a tough-ass player, and, like, I couldn't stop watching her. Part of the reason why I couldn't stop watching her was because it seemed like every time Arizona needed a big shot, every time there was a big moment for the Wildcats, she was there to make the play. And that is a quality a lot of players do not have at any size. She was there to make the play. She always seemed to come through in the clutch. She didn't shy away from the big moments. And if you watch the game, it looked like she was attacking those big moments like they were her moments. She knew it was for her to make that play. And in that way, when I watched her, her game reminded me and still reminds me of one Allen Iverson. Like, if you watched Allen Iverson play, he knew that those moments were his. He was aggressive, especially on the offensive end. He was small, but he was able to get wherever he wanted to on the floor by handling the ball. The threat of him blowing by you, the threat of him pulling up and shooting a jumper, he could do all of those things. And the team could rely on him to make those big shots in the clutch, to be that guy when they needed him to be. And that's what she reminds me of. That's who Ari McDonald reminds me of. Allen Iverson. And I will say it's a pleasure to report, as an Atlanta sports fan, that Ari McDonald was drafted by the Atlanta Dream, number 3 in the WNBA draft. So I will say I look forward to seeing what Ari can do in the future. I look forward to seeing what the Atlanta Dream can do, because the Atlanta Dream, quiet as kept, has been one of the most consistent teams in Atlanta. They've been close a few times to a championship, kind of missed it, but they have always been right there. And if you're not paying attention, then you wouldn't know. But I've been keeping my eye on the Atlanta Dream because, like I said, I watch basketball and I like to see everybody play basketball who can play basketball. But I will continue to watch basketball and continue to watch Ari McDonald and as she teams up with the rest of her staff at the Atlanta Dream.
Commissioner Gordon.
Before I go any further, I'd like to tell you that the Commissioner's Conversation is brought to you by 323 Custom Apparel. 323 Custom Apparel can make anything you can think of in terms of clothing. You want a fresh new hat? You go and you call my guys at 323 Custom Apparel. You put what you want on it, and you stepping out the house looking dope as hell. You want a fresh new shirt? You want some shorts? You want to customize your t-shirts because you guys are going on a vacation and you want the family to be able to be spotted, so you want you want some loud-ass orange shirts that says Meet the Jenkins on it or whatever? He can hook it up for you. He can put everything you want together in a timely manner, in the quality that's hands down above some of these other fools who out here trying to do it in their basement. Look, go check out my guy at 323_custom_apparel. You can check them out on Instagram and he'll hook you up. Send him a message. You can check him out on Facebook at 323 Custom Apparel. Send him a message. Tell him what you're looking for. He'll give you a great price. He'll give you a great product. At 323_custom_apparel. Make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, yo, it's getting warm outside. Yeah, it's time for some of those backyard parties. It's time for some of those patio parties. It's time for getting close. Time for some pool parties. Everything is opening up. Places are opening up. Restaurants are opening up. And you can invite some of your friends to the house now. You can invite some of your family to the house now. They want to watch the game. They want to just have some fun and have some family time. You haven't seen them in a while. Invite them over. And when you invite them over, make sure you celebrate with a nice drink from my good people at Greenwood Whiskey. It's a smooth, refreshing whiskey. It's black owned. And it's one of the best drinks that I've ever had. Yes, I'll say it again. It's one of the best drinks that I've ever had. Go out, enjoy yourself. If you're out at a restaurant, ask for Greenwood Whiskey. If they say they don't have it, recommend that they get it. And tell them to go to my people at Greenwood Whiskey on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, at Greenwood Whiskey. You can also check them out at www.greenwoodwhiskey.com. And you can order it if they don't have it. Give them those suggestions and tell them to get it in as fast as possible because it's going to fly off the shelves. Greenwood Whiskey is celebration whiskey, and we're encouraging you to celebrate responsibly with your friends and family this summer. Greenwood Whiskey is celebration whiskey, but Greenwood Whiskey isn't just a drink, it's a movement. Be a part of the movement.
Commissioner Gordon.
So before we get out of here, DJ Reese Bliggy, can you hit my intro to I Told Y'all and My Bad, please, sir?
It's time for...
Y'all right, all right, all right. You was right, I was wrong.
Told y'all, y'all better believe it.
All right, in the world of I Told Y'all, I don't think I was wrong about anything this week. Not that I can think of. I mean, feel free to let me know if you believe I was wrong or if you see something you said, Commissioner Gordon, you were wrong about that, bro. Feel free, hit me up. Some of you know me out there, text me. Some of you that don't know me that listen in, feel free. I am at G Robinson Sports on Twitter. Again, that's at G Robinson Sports on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Hit me up. Send me a message. Say, hey, you said such and such would win. They lost. You said this would happen. It didn't. Let me know. Holler at me. I love to engage with my folks. So, and with that being said, I told y'all, man. Listen, I told a lot of my friends, a lot of my peers, a lot of people on Twitter. I put it out there on Twitter, too, and people look at me like I'm, like, talk to me like I'm crazy. And then when I say it and it actually happens, I tag those people who were talking to me like I was crazy, and then I don't get a response. It's always funny that way. But I set it up like this. Are you familiar with the movie The Mighty Ducks? If not, I'll run through the story really quickly just to make my point. The Mighty Ducks is basically a Disney movie about a guy who's down on his luck. And I think he winds up having to do like community service or something. And he ends up coaching a ragtag group of kids in hockey. And long story short, like, you know, it's a Disney movie. So the coach get the kids to believe in themselves. I think they get a player from the Juggernaut team, and he comes and he helps them out a little bit. And eventually, they wind up taking down the powerhouse team in the championship. Now, you fast forward, here we are. I think that came out in the early 90s, like 92, 93. But here you fast forward to 2021, and the series is still kind of trudging along. And they're just releasing a new Mighty Ducks movie. But in this new Mighty Ducks movie, the Mighty Ducks are the powerhouse. The Mighty Ducks are the Juggernaut team. And it's going to start all over. I haven't seen the movie yet, but the premise is the same about what I'm going to go into. To me, that's the Gonzaga Zags. Right? Gonzaga started out as this little small team. I think they had only made an appearance a couple of times in the 90s. You know, around 95, 96. They kind of hit the scene a little bit. And they were everybody's favorite little team. Everybody's favorite, you know, David against the Goliaths of the UNCs and the Kentuckys and all of this. And since then, you fast forward to now, I want to say that David, the Gonzaga Zags, have been in the NCAA tournament for like the past 20 years. All the way to the point where this year, Gonzaga was the favorite to win the whole damn thing. They just came up short. They ran up against a juggernaut in Baylor. Baylor was hungry as hell to get that win. And I think Gonzaga kind of thought that it was just going to be handed to them because they had been beating the hell out of everybody and blowing doors off of everybody else prior to that game. And then they ran into a bunch of hungry junkyard dogs that wasn't taking no for an answer. You were going to have to put down the Baylor Bears to win the game. But, like I said, the Gonzaga Zags are the Mighty Ducks. How so, Commish? Well, you just had Jalen Suggs, who was arguably one of the top recruits in the country this past season. Yes, he's going pro. And what are you doing now? Insert the number one recruit of 2021, Chet Holmgren, who's like, who I would describe as white Kevin Durant. Like, all PC aside, his game, his frame, all of the above is like Kevin Durant. Now, he may not be as efficient a scorer as Kevin Durant just yet, but he can handle the ball. He can shoot from inside. He can shoot from outside. He has a couple more elements that Kevin Durant didn't really have that I saw when I saw him first at Texas. I didn't see Kevin Durant really playing a whole lot inside and blocking shots and snagging rebounds. Chet is doing those things. He's blocking shots. He's grabbing rebounds. And he's killing guards on the wings. He's killing wings on the wings. He's shooting over players on the outside while also doing the same thing and killing guys on the inside. And he is going to Gonzaga. Not only is he going to the Zags, there is another five-star guard by the name of Hunter Salas going to Gonzaga, which is basically going to give the Zags the number two recruiting class of this offseason. Gonzaga has become the big dogs. The Zags are becoming the powerhouse that we used to root for them against the others. They're becoming the juggernaut. They're becoming the machine. Like I said, this year, they have the number two recruiting class. Duke, currently, if you're interested, is ranked number six in this recruiting class. Michigan, number 10. University of North Carolina is ranked 16th in their recruiting class. And Kentucky is behind them with number 17 ranked in the recruiting class. And Kentucky seems to always restock their players full of All-Americans. And they're number 17, but we're talking about Gonzaga, number 2. Gonzaga has become the new Mighty Ducks. And I told everyone who would listen, once I saw the commercial for the Mighty Ducks, I immediately thought of Gonzaga. And I told anyone who would listen that that's what it was. And sometimes people say, yeah, I see your point. You're right. And some folks looked at me like they don't know. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. But it happened. And this was before Chet Holmgren had signed. This was prior to all of that. Chet just made the announcement like Monday or Tuesday. So, I told y'all, man, Gonzaga is the Mighty Ducks.
Commissioner Gordon.
Also, I told y'all, man, we had this conversation last week on the Commissioner's Conversation. I talked about the formula. There is no formula for winning an NBA championship. And I went on 92.9 The Game with my good friends, Sam Crenshaw and Greg Clarkson, and I brought this up. And Greg was saying the formula is to get you some free agents and get you these guys and recruit a whole super team. And he was basically describing what the Brooklyn Nets did. He was basically describing what the Los Angeles Clippers did. He was basically describing what the LA Lakers had done. And he was saying that's the way. And I was saying I don't believe that that's the way. Yes, that's a way. That's not the way. Now, I say that to say the Brooklyn Nets have put this team together, and everyone believed that the NBA championship was going to go to Brooklyn. It was going to visit the Brooklyn, 550 State Street. What is Jay-Z's address? Old address? Yeah, it was going to be there in the Barclays Center. But I don't know now. I can't say it's going to be that for sure, because here we are, and just Tuesday, James Harden seems to have suffered a setback in his rehab from his hamstring injury. He had an MRI on Tuesday, and they're basically saying he's going to be out indefinitely. Now, I don't know what indefinitely means to you, but to me, it means longer than we would damn like. Because typically, if he's going to be a couple weeks, they would say, yeah, he'd be out 7 to 10 days. Indefinitely means we have no idea. We have no clue. And Coach Steve Nash basically echoed those sentiments when he was asked about when Harden will return. He was quoted as saying he will be back when he's back. It may be the playoffs. It might be soon. And this is the funny thing about that. I hate when people answer a question that way. He'll be back when he's back. What the hell does that mean? Just say, I don't know. Because that's what you're saying. I hate when people say, I'll be back when I'm back. Or, it is what it is. Or, just say, I don't know. But because you're too prideful to say, I don't know, you try to flip it and give this arrogant-ass answer. He'll be back when he's back. Ridiculous. So, Brooklyn is down one of their major pieces, and we don't know when he'll return. And if he does return, a hamstring, if anybody out there has pulled a hamstring is one of those tricky injuries where you could feel like you're 100% today and you make the wrong move, or you run just a little too fast, and then, oh, it reminds you, bruh, I'm still here. And it hurts. And you can go from 100% to 20% real quickly. So with that, we got to keep an eye on when James Harden will be coming back. Because I'm assuming they probably, I would say, if he's able to return, he'll probably play maybe a game, maybe two, before the playoffs take off. So, that's James Harden. Kevin Durant had to miss the game last night against the Pelicans because he has suffered a left thigh contusion from Sunday when they played the Miami Heat. And I can't remember the player, but he basically, the player's knee ran into his thigh and he left the game super early in the first quarter against the Miami Heat. And yes, a thigh contusion, typically not seen to be that bad, but it happened on Sunday. He didn't play Tuesday. He's considered questionable for Wednesday's game against Toronto. He should be getting back into the fold, but he's going to have to get in shape. He hasn't played a whole lot of basketball. Like, he was really getting into shape when that happened. They were starting to up his minutes when this happened. So he's going to have to get in shape. He's going to have to get readjusted to the team because some things have changed since he's last played. So he's going to have to get adjusted to the team and what's going on around him. And then you're going to always have the factor of, now we're going to look at him a little bit like, is he injury prone? We'll see. So you got James Harden, who has a hamstring injury, and we don't know when he'll return. We have a seemingly injury prone Kevin Durant that's, you know, in and out for the past, for this whole season. And then, adding to that, LaMarcus Aldridge recently announced that he was retiring due to an irregular heartbeat. And he ultimately said that, you know, it was with a lot of regret that he had to step away from the game. But everyone who read and heard his situation understood his situation. You know, the man is basically choosing life over chasing a ring. And I salute and I salute that. I commend him, because it doesn't do you any good to be out here working hard, making all this money to feed your kids, if you can't be there with your kids to enjoy it after your playing days are over. Chasing a ring does not solidify him as a Hall of Famer. Him not having a ring doesn't take away if he's going to be considered a Hall of Famer. You're not going to look at LA's career and be like, yeah, he was dope, but man, he ain't never win a ring, dog. Or you won't look at his career had he won with the Nets to be like, hey man, that ring put him in a whole nother stratosphere. It didn't change anything. He understands it didn't change anything, and he decided to walk away for the good of himself and for the good of his family. And I salute him for making that decision, because a lot of times, a lot of guys struggle with those decisions, and a lot of times guys make the wrong decision. So I salute to LaMarcus Aldridge. Hell of a career, and best of wishes to him and his family in their future endeavors. But I'm wrapping this back up just to say, this goes back to the conversation that we had last week when I told you, you have to be lucky. The Lakers got lucky last year. How that whole thing went down with the bubble. They got a whole break. And then when the bubble started up, they were fresh and ready to go. Golden State got lucky. Yes, they had a squad. And then you get lucky to get Kevin Durant to come in and be the two-time finals MVP. You got lucky. That's how this game works. But, like I said, the Nets built the super team. Everyone thought the trophy was theirs to lose. And now, they're starting to look a little shaky. Harden out indefinitely. Aldridge gone. KD can't seem to get right. I told y'all, man, this is how the game works. We'll see what happens come playoff time. But I told y'all.
Commissioner Gordon.
Again, I thank you. We have come to the end of the conversation. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you for tuning in. I appreciate my sponsors. I'd like to thank them at Greenwood Whiskey. Check them out on all social media platforms. At 323 Custom Apparel, check them out on all social media platforms. And where they're on Instagram, they're at 323_custom_apparel. Make sure you put those underscores in there to get the real, real custom apparel. 323 Custom Apparel. But I thank you again. I thank you for tuning in. I thank my producer, my engineer, Young Reese Boogie. I salute him for the things that he's doing and he has going on. And I'd like to invite you again to tune into my YouTube series, The Commissioner's Conversation. Be on the lookout. I have my guest, Jarvis Davis from 92.9 The Game, from the Atlanta Falcons, from their Atlanta Falcons reporters. And we have a good conversation about the NFL draft. And I'd like to encourage you to follow me on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. Follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. And follow some of my radio buddies, man. I told you last week, I was on the Rashad Richie's morning show, and we had a good conversation. Follow Dr. Rashad Richie. I told you that also this past weekend that I was on the Sam and Greg show on 92.9 The Game. Follow Sam Crenshaw. Follow Greg Clarkson. Follow those guys and engage with them and tune into their shows. But I appreciate you. I thank you. And I will holler at you next week.
Okay, bye.